be your friend. I know it's stewardship month, so I want to take you to John chapter 12, verse 24. Do we have any people here who are gardening freaks like me? Raise your hand. God bless you and you and you. Okay, we're going to kind of stay with that theme, as you might guess. Jesus is speaking here, and we're going to come around to stewardship, but we're going to talk about the heart of stewardship. What a perfect song to fit. Oh, just a quinky dinky. Maybe not. We're going to talk about the heart of stewardship, because when we think of stewardship, you know, we think about, we all have the same amount of time each day, each month, each year, time to invest in things that are temporary or things that are eternal. We have the same amount of time. We all have certain talents, certain gifts from God to learn what they are and then to use them for His honor and glory. And when you exercise those gifts, that's when you come alive, you know, when you're being used of God to bless other people. And we have, you know, we talk about money, the stewardship of money. And that's the part of stewardship that gets the most attention. It's the part of stewardship I'm least comfortable with. I'm real uncomfortable to teach about tithing and giving. It seems like unless it's about for missions, you know, whoo, then I get all excited about it. But if we could forget about all of the externals and think about the heart, we're listening to Jesus. He's going to take us right to the heart of this thing. In the Gospel of John, I'm going to begin in verse 23, because verse 24 is actually our text. But verse 23, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man himself to be glorified. Well, those, we would back off and look at this. We'd say the time for him to be glorified. We'd say it's come for the time for him to be crucified. There's something about being crucified and glorified that are just theologically connected together. And I have found that some of the times when my plans in life and my dreams were just crucified, and it crushed me, and then as I try to draw near to the Lord and have him explain it to me, because I don't get it. See, my old nature wants to get angry at him when I'm disappointed. But then I reach out to him, and like Job did, and like David did, and Moses did, this stinks, I don't understand it, I don't like it. And then his spirit makes me a seer through her, no longer just a looker at her.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, that which was destroying me kind of remakes me into something way better than I would have been otherwise. And it's like, Lord, I thought that was a mistake, but maybe it isn't. The hour is here for him to be glorified, dash crucified. That's so amazing. That'd be a whole sermon there, preacher. You write it and I'll preach it, okay? The hour's come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, here's our text. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life will lose it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. I hold in my hands my special stash of my organically grown heirloom seeds. For you gardening freaks, so you're all excited about this. I think they're called California squash. It looks like a pumpkin. I'll show you pictures afterwards. You can tell a guy's a redneck when he carries pictures of his vegetables and his phone. I'll show you my rutabagas when we're done. I got it. Anyway, I actually, if you're really committed to Jesus, I'll even give you four or five seeds at the end of the service. Okay? But I have to verify you're a gardening freak. If you're just fake, I'll find you out. Because these things are gold. So I got the attention of the four gardeners in the crowd. Jesus holds up a seed. And he says, unless this seed falls into the ground and dies, don't let that thing be wasted. Those things are edible. Those things are good. You roast these babies with a little spray of olive oil. Somebody says put a little cinnamon on them. I use garlic, dude. I married an Italian. We put garlic on everything. Somebody say amen. A little salt. You roast these babies, they're delicious. And eat about 150 of them, you know, and they're gone. They were good, but they're gone. That's the natural level of a seed. We all have the natural level of our stewardship, the natural level of how we spend our time, our talents, our finances. We all have the natural level. And Jesus wants to take us from the natural to the supernatural. You get a bite of that, it's way cooler than the natural. And he holds up a seed. They were an agricultural community. This is how they survived. We are so far away from natural living, people don't understand this. You know, food doesn't just grow in the grocery store. There's a lot of life and blood and sweat and tears and sacrifice and commitment and faith and investment and risk in all of this. What do you see? I see a seed. Well, what part of the seed do we see? Well, we see the hard outer shell. We see the hard outer shell. Well, that's there for a purpose. It protects. This thing could be roasted and eaten in probably about 1 calorie, depending on how much oil you soak it in. And it tastes great, and it's gone. It gives you 1 calorie of energy. But Jesus said in another passage, some is falls into the ground and dies. Some bears 30-fold, fruit 30-fold, some 60, some 100. But some falls among on the wayside for the fowls of the air to eat it. There's a lot of birds that would love to eat this seed. If I left it in an unsafe condition, the birds of the air would take it. Jesus said the fowls of the air is like the devil who comes and takes away the seed before it ever grows. Or I could be haphazard and not really be an avid gardener and just want to do the quick fix and just throw it into some soil that's not really prepared, and the soil that's not really built up, and it's not the right place in the right way and the right time, the right water and the right sunlight and all of that. And it'll grow. But if I don't give it all that it needs, water, fertilizer, space, sunlight, it won't produce any fruit. It'll just be a little plant that comes and goes, and this seed will give its life. It'll produce a little plant, but maybe nothing else than just a little plant. Some falls upon good soil. It's nurtured. The rain comes. You give it its space. You keep it weeded and keep it protected from pests, and that thing takes root. I had seeds that were accidentally sown in my compost pile this year. Anybody that composts, you know, you've been through this. I got a crop of pumpkins from my compost pile this year that was crazy. I got like 23 $10 pumpkins and a bunch of little pumpkins out of my compost heap this year. So now everybody wants to become a gardener, amen? Well, see, when we plant it and it can bring forth fruit, this one little seed could produce a plant that could produce about probably 6 or 7 of these squash, which weigh about 8 to 10 pounds apiece. This little seed could produce 50 pounds of food. And it's the best squash I've ever had. It's unbelievable. So my closest friends, I'll take care of you when the service is over, you know what I'm saying? But you see, when this is planted in the right place at the right time, first thing we do is we pray for
rain.
Or we cheat and we water it. We don't want to take a chance. We know its need and we water it. And something begins to happen. That hard outer shell begins to soften. And the water, the power of water, permeates that hard outer shell. And the interior part of the seed, the entirety of the seed, begins to absorb the water like a sponge. And in its present condition, dried, this biochemically is starch, okay? But a miracle happens when the water hits that hard outer shell and it begins to soften. The scripture says the water represents the Word of God, the water of the Word. And I remember coming into church just like this guy. He came into church kicking and screaming with a hard outer shell, a really hard outer shell. But that hard outer shell of John Westfall was no obstacle for the power of the Word of God. It permeated. And that hard outer shell, that street fighter, brawler, we've talked privately. We're glad they don't hear all we talk about. We were legends in our own minds, weren't we? Not many wise, not many noble are called to this. Amen. We prove it every week. And that hard outer shell began to soften. And it absorbs water. And chemically, biochemically inside, a miracle takes place. The starch is transformed into sugar, fructose. And the little stamen inside of here, there's that little guy, there's that little thing that looks like it's ready to grow. It's activated. That seed's gotten kind of fat. You wouldn't want to eat it now. It'd be yucky. But something's happening. God is moving. That hard outer shell, as the seed is softened and the seed is absorbing water, and that hard outer shell is softened and the seed is swelling and it's ready to burst open. And that little stamen thing becomes the root and it heads downward. And as it heads downward, it causes the seed to head upward. And it busts through the soil. And the seed falls off and two little leaves pop out on either side. Man, those of you that garden, isn't that a beautiful sight? You've planted your little hills and you watered them and you got it all set. And you come out one day, you got six little California squash plants growing in your hill. And you're all excited. And then as they grow, some of them, they're still under attack. Ants love these things. When they're very small, they'll take them out. I usually lose at least 50% to insects. But you just need one. And I got six. And the insects will take out usually two or three. But then I have to make a decision. Maybe I've got three growing in the hill. I usually put seven in a hill. Then I got to narrow it down to my two healthiest plants. And sometimes just one. And it begins to grow. And as it grows, those little flowers start to burst out. Did you know there's a male and female flower on squash plants? The Italians let nothing go to waste. You take those male flowers, because you only need like one or two male flowers, and the little female flowers got the little squash at the end of it. I should have brought my pictures. I have pictures of all this stuff. It's fascinating. I can't get it from my phone to the screen. I only had a few hours notice. And you see those little female flowers. I told the kids I teach nature class. I said, can you tell which one is the female, which one is the male? The male's a lot easier to spot. Oh, that's the male, okay. Yep. You can take those male flowers and you cut them off and you bread them and you eat them. You ever have them, Candy? Squash flowers?
Yeah,
say amen.
Awesome.
It's good stuff, isn't it? We batter them and fry them in a little olive oil and a little salt and pepper and dip them in ranch dressing. Somebody say amen. Everything fits together, nothing goes to waste. And you have a plant. And the bees come from the male flower. And they get the nectar and things out of there they're looking for. Any beekeepers here besides me? Okay, I'll pray for your church. Every church needs a beekeeper. And then the bee will fly over to the female flower and fertilize it. And fertilization, and it activates the pollen, activates that little tiny squash. Doesn't stay tiny. They grow so fast. And then you see the squash. And from that plant, from that seed, very much capable of producing six or seven of these squash, 50 pounds of flesh, And each one of those plants is going to produce about 300 seeds. So now 300 times 7, you do the math. This is the fantastic potential that God puts in a seed. And I'm mesmerized by this. This is how the world exists. But we walk away from the whole process and we walk away from God's ways. There's laws that govern the universe. And Jesus holds this up and teaches us about how life is, about how stewardship is. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. He's, as they say down south, this is for you southern people. How many southern people we got here? God bless you and you and you. He's fixing to go to the cross. He's getting ready to. I have to interpret that for the Yankees. He's fixing to go to the cross. He's going to lay down his life. You see, he's a king. Amen? King of kings and Lord of lords. But in order for him to have a kingdom, he's going to be the corn of wheat. He's going to practice what he's going to illustrate and then teach us to do the same thing. Wow. Pretty groovy, huh? That's for all my hippie friends. Do we have any hippies here? Really bad. Took a lot of courage to admit that. Maybe I'll come and give you 10 good reasons why you all need to be hippies. I'll just give you one. You only need 4-word vocabulary. Wow, man. Really? Dude. Wow. Really? 1 pair of pants, 1 pair of jeans, all you need. 40 years. The more patches on them, the holier you get. Amen? Oh, maybe we'll have a good invitation today and everybody become hippies. Grow your own food. Somebody say amen. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. He's talking about his own death here. But he's talking about the everyday laws that govern the universe. They understood the whole agricultural part of what I just told you. This is how they existed. This is how they grew. You see, their garden wasn't just something, it wasn't a recreational thing. The garden is their life. If their gardens don't go well, they don't eat. Then they're at the mercy of somebody whose garden did go well. Except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. You see, we can have a life alone, like that seed that was just here and it got sprayed with some oil and some seasoning and it got roasted and it got eaten and it was here for a moment and then vanisheth away. It can be temporary, but Jesus offers us something beyond the temporary. Jesus offers us something beyond the natural to the supernatural. I'm going to be glorified, and yet he's going to be crucified. He's our leader. He's not asking of us to do something he's not willing to do. Amen. So he's going to be our leader. He's going to do it. He's going to be that seed that falls into the ground and dies. But he's also going to be the seed that on the morning of the third day he rose, triumphant over death, over hell, over the grave. Woo! I worship a risen Savior who's coming again and takes me home where I can be a hippie for eternity. I think we're all going to be hippies in eternity. The millennial kingdom is going to be a petting zoo, isn't it? The lion lies down with that lamb and the children are playing with the poisonous serpents. That sounds like a petting zoo to me. My wife is hoping I'm theologically off a bit. She don't like that verse about riding in on a white horse. Pray for her. She's beautiful, but she's kind of rebellious on some of that theology, you know? Don't tell her I said that, Candy. You already got too much junk on me. I better be careful. Did you see what our Lord said there? Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to be glorified, crucified. Because when you fall into the ground and die, die to self, die to your flesh, desire to your, die to your own dreams, die to your selfishness, die to your lust, die to your pride, die to all those things that are not helping us in the end. Because whoever saves his life, I did it my way. I think Frank Sinatra, if he could come back from wherever he is, he'd probably strike that song from his repertoire. Well, that was his signature song. It's not a wise song. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look what our Lord is saying. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Just think what that's up to. He's getting ready to go to the cross and all the physical pain that went with that beyond our wildest imagination. Truly, truly, I say unto you, Jesus is speaking to you on a very important subject. This is the heart of all stewardship. Except a grain of wheat, a seed, falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. It can be eaten, tastes good, it's here, it's gone. But if it dies, that's the question. Are we willing to die? Are we willing to be emptied out? Are we willing to be poured out? I've seen your pastor's family when they were poured out. He's filling you back up again, preacher. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's not you. It's him. It's beautiful. It dies. If it doesn't, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life, I'll do my own thing, man. I'm not in this world to live up to your expectations. I used to have that hanging as a poster that I made hanging in my room when I was very cool in my own eyes in my hippie days. Whoever loves his life loses it. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Whoever loves life loses it. Whoever hates his life, whoever dies to self in this world, will keep it for eternal life. Are we living in the natural realm? Or we want to live in the supernatural realm? If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And he said, the foxes have their dens, the fowls of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. If you follow me, they're going to hate you because they hated me. You follow me, you'll be politically incorrect. You follow me, you'll be in the minority. You follow me, people think you're nuts. But you can tell them, I'm screwed onto the right bolt.
Amen.
And I would suggest when you get a little discouraged to read the last page. We read the back of the book, we win.
Amen.
If anyone serves me, he must follow me. God doesn't put an easy way before his best people. There's a health and wealth so-called gospel out there that, you know, Jesus is your homeboy and you name it, claim it, and you frame it, and you got it. Well, whatever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. If any man's, John the Baptist died a premature death, never owned anything much by the health and wealth thing. He was a total loser, but according to Jesus, he was the greatest man ever born of woman. So be careful, little ears, what you hear on TV. Be careful, little heart, what tickles you. It might not be from God. The false prophets always gave a glowing report. Yes. Oh, the enemy's not going to come. Jerusalem's not going to fall. You're God's people. You got the temple. Oh, Jeremiah, you're too negative. I'll get off of that hobby horse. I'm sorry. Back to the text. If anyone serves me, What an honor.
Amen.
You can serve yourself, and you got your reward, whatever that is. People who are very self-serving usually don't have a lot of people that like to hang out with them. Amen? Did you ever notice that? But when you serve Him, you'll serve others. Don't you like to be around people who serve you? I had plans after the service today, but I smelled that back room. I'm like, I might change my plans. My wife would say, that sounds a little self-serving. There she goes again, dragging the Bible into it. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. That where I am. Jesus doesn't go to the easy place, does he, John? East Greenbush, New York. So 5-6 years ago we had our little drive through here? Seven and a half years ago we had our first little drive through East Greenbush. She said, if there was another one of you to plant the church, where would you go? I brought you to a real easy place, didn't I? What were you thinking? You followed him. I want to go on record today that I never gave his daughters permission to grow up. Amen, preacher?
Amen.
But I did tell them to stay awesome. And they got that part down pretty good, so I'll try to stop complaining. Stewardship. When I die to myself, and I look at my time, it's not my time. It's His. And, you know, when I was serving myself, time was of essence. Because, man, I got a party, you know, I got places to go, things to do. And, but then when I died to that, He is time. He's the great I am. And my time is not my time. It's His time. Redeeming the time. I can spend my time on things that are natural or things that are supernatural. I can invest in things that are going to go away, or I can invest in things that are eternal. Two things are eternal, the Word of God and the souls of men. So I decided as a young man, I'm going to give my life to reach people through the local church to the ends of the earth. I'm going to give my life to know the Scriptures. I read through the Bible every year. I got in Bible college. I started reading through the Bible twice a year. I became full-time in ministry. I don't have to go out and work 40, 50 hours a week like you guys do. And God put on my heart 5 years ago to read through the Bible every 90 days. I love the Bible. It's eternal. I want to know the Scriptures. I want to be able to make them come alive for people that I speak to, like other men made it come alive to me when I was a newer believer. And I've given myself to the souls of men and the Word of God. If I had to do over again, I'd do the same thing. I just do it sooner. I do it harder. My time is not mine. It's His.
Amen.
My talents. People say, oh, you're such a good storyteller. Well, the master storyteller. History. His story kind of made me a storyteller. It's not a talent that I studied hard to be a storyteller. I was a storyteller when I was 6 years old. I told all kinds of stories to my parents. They weren't true. But I could tell them. Can I use that for the glory of God? We can use any of our talents. Our kitchen talents. Our gardening talents. Our speaking talents. Our singing talents. Our music talents. I am so jealous of people who can play instruments.
Amen.
You know, I can't. I can do the drum part to Winchester Cathedral, sort of. But I'm so helpless. I don't have rhythm. I'm playing a guitar, and all of a sudden it's like I change songs in the middle. What song is that? I can't keep rhythm. I'm Hungarian. I'm a man. I'm a Baptist. I have a problem with rhythm. Man, I don't think God's going to let white people sing in heaven, do you think? Well, maybe a few of you, but not most of us. I have some black friends, and man, they can sing. It ain't fair. I want in on it, brother. Man, it's just, He's just made us with different abilities. They're His. He gave them to me. My money. It's not my money. And there's a... there's none in there. €5? That's not any good. Un lu, one lu. Anybody know where that's from? A lu? Eastern Europe? Romania? One lu. It's worth 33 cents, incidentally. How much is that worth? I don't have any American money. I got all kind of that. Go all over the world and buy you lunch, but go to Friendly's, you're on your own, dude. See what happens from killing so many brain cells in 1969? You just work with what you got left, amen? Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. This is the heart of everything we do. My time, my talents, my money. It's not my money, it's His. How can I invest His money? Well, first of all, He takes care of our needs. And I remember when I was a new believer, got introduced right away to tithing. I was making $30 a week at this little restaurant working part-time, and I was introduced to tithing. I was a brand new Christian, and the girl who won me to Christ, her name was Jeannie, she said, well, you know, you should give 10%. It's in the Bible, and before the law, and in the law, and after the law, God, Jesus commended it to the Lord. That was easy for me. I never had any struggle with it, because first thing I did, before I was saved, I bought a bottle of Jack Daniels, a bag of dope, a carton of cigarettes, and a case of beer. There wasn't much left. If there was any left, I might pay my car insurance. I mean, I had my priorities down in the world, baby. I got saved, and all, you know, most of the, I still paid my car insurance, but you know, I started partying at church. No, they weren't smoking dope. I'm sorry, they weren't. But church is my party. Church is my people. Here's a place where people lift me up and not put me down. Here's a place where they let me fit in. I didn't look like them in the early days. I still don't. Amen? I'm a clean-cut guy except for here. That's why I dress up a little bit more than I used to, because my wife is a little nervous about it. She saw me watching Duck Dynasty and she's scared. I dress up. I got the outfit. I go in public. People, they want to come and ask for my autograph. I'm Phil. If any of you have seen the show, I'm Phil. People say, you look like Cy. No, I don't. I'm Phil. Watch it again. You see, while you're serving the Lord, you can still be stupid. Amen? You can still have fun. You can bring joy and peace and humor and just have enjoy life. When we're enjoying life and freedom in Christ, people see that. They see the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And they want in on that supernatural thing. We're not controlled by circumstances and things. We're controlled by His Spirit. We die to self. I'm not in control. His Spirit is in control. What looks, you know, what crushes other people just makes us stronger. When I'm weak, then am I strong. It doesn't make sense, but it works. The supernatural. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it fall on the ground and dies, it'll bear fruit. Some 30. Every year in your garden, you got things that just go nuts. This year was a very disappointing year in the garden for my peppers. Mediocre year for other things. But my fruit went crazy. Had my first crop of peaches this year. 3 bushels of peaches from one tree. My wife fell in love with me all over again. She likes fresh, tree-ripened peaches. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. He'll take you into some difficult places, but you'll never be alone. He has a purpose for everything He allows to happen to us. And where I am, where Jesus is, isn't that what brought us here today? Amen. Amen. We want to be where He is.
Amen.
He hangs out at church. Well, I don't need to be in church to be with Jesus. Well, you do if the church is open. He'll leave with you. You won't leave Him here. But people there's the omnipresence of God, but the special presence of the Lord is in God's house. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. We have a missionary in our church speaking it right now as we speak to Kenya, Africa. He lives in a very dangerous area. They go in and punch holes in the ground and give water for free to villages where people are dying of diseases. And they share the gospel with them. They're having people in mass converted from Islam to Christianity. where I am, there my servants will be also. Jesus might take you anywhere. He might take you into some dangerous places, but you won't be alone. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. What am I going to do with this seed? Jesus is saying, what are you going to do with your life? You going to serve yourself? Okay. He's a gentleman's God. He's not going to force himself on you. But his sweet Holy Spirit will speak to your heart, and you have to choose his way or your own. And you choose his way. It'll cost you. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body, our soul, and our spirit. For we're not our own. We belong to him. It's not my money for me to do what... Okay, here's your 10%. I'll do with what the rest with what I want. And it's like, wait a minute. No, he's met my needs. Now how can I take the extra that I have and invest it in his kingdom? 10% was just a starting point for my wife and I. And for a number of years, it was just trusting God. We'd give our 10% and trust him, and miracles began to happen. And we got very confident in that. People who have tithed for a few years really get confident in it. It's like, whoa, this is the foundation for my faith. This is the foundation for God's pouring his blessing upon us financially, physically. And then we begin to give, experiment and give to God. We play this little God game, my wife and I. Special needs come up, maybe it's a missionary project or just somebody in the church is hurting and we have a little extra and God will put us on our heart to throw $100 or a couple $100 or something at something. And then my wife will look at each other and say, and we'll just kind of wink, and we do that. And I'm telling you, within a month, God has usually given that back to us double some other way that we had no idea, which really creates a new way of living. Because we learn that, man, just there's something about giving and receiving. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Do you think Jesus was kidding when he said that? So it's a whole adventure to learn stewardship of your time and your talents. We have a lady in our church that went to Bible college but didn't marry a preacher, and God blessed her with a godly husband who's a businessman, and she's able to be full-time in the ministry. She homeschools two of her teenage children, and so she wanted to be full-time in ministry. So she brings the kids to church, homeschools them at the church, and volunteers about 25 hours a week. She's like a full-time staff person for the church for free, and she's just so gifted in every area. She tithes and gives her time to serve. And then I take her son under my wings. When it comes time to do the farming things, you know, not only do I raise vegetables, I also raise animals. There's a whole process with that. I won't get into that. That would be too much information for most of you. Say amen, brother. You know what I'm talking about. You got my back? I better stop here. But anyway, I spend time with her son, and I teach him all about natural living, animal husbandry. Other men in the church take him in. He feels called to preach. He's 16 years old. He's a gifted young man. Great people skills. Pastor Matt's teaching him homiletics. Pastor Scott is teaching him anthropology. 16-year-old kid. See, his mother was a corn of wheat that fell on the ground and died. She's an amazing woman, an amazing family. And so, stewardship. You're living in the natural realm or in the supernatural realm? You want to be where Jesus is? Die.
Pastor Duke came to our church and just told me to die.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would there be someone here say, Pastor Duke, I'm a seeker. I'm kind of like you were in those early days. This is all kind of new to me. I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I do believe he was born of the Virgin Mary. I do believe he died upon the cross. We call that Good Friday. I do believe he rose again the third day. That's Easter. You see, Jesus paid for your sins on the cross when he shed his blood. He paid for your sins. There's two ways to have your sins paid for. Number one, you can let Jesus pay for them and be saved, or you can pay for them yourself. And you will pay for them in a place called hell. That's why Jesus came, so you don't have to go there. But in order to go to heaven, you have to activate it. That word, that water's got to hit that seed, that hard outer shell. Somebody here today say, Pastor Duke, I have a hard outer shell, but it's softening. I've never received Jesus Christ into my heart personally as my Lord and Savior, but I think I'm ready today. Lead me in a prayer of commitment. I'm ready to receive Jesus into my heart right now. Would you raise your hand for prayer? I'll lead you in a prayer of commitment. I've never done that, but I'm thinking about it today. I see your hand there, sir. And ma'am, I see your hand. I see two hands there in the center. Would you pray? Anybody else? You put your hands down. God sees your hand. Would you pray a prayer like this? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but your scriptures say that you love sinners, and I'm thankful. Today, I acknowledge my sin, my transgression before you. And just like a little child, I humble myself before you. Jesus, I believe. I believe in you. I believe you died and were buried and rose again. I believe you paid for my sins on the cross. And today, I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. I want to be born again, as the Bible says. So today's my day, November 24th, 2013. Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my Savior and I am your servant. I want to be that seed that falls in the ground and dies, that you may give new life. I want to go from the natural to the supernatural. Thank you for loving me, Jesus. You're mine, I'm yours. In your name, I